Hi, I'm Christina Applegate.
And I'm Jamie Lynn Sigler.
And this is
Messy. Hello.
Hello.
It's us again.
It's us again, Christina Applegate, mother to one, MS-er.
I like this. Jamie Lynn Sigler, mother to two, MS-er also.
How are you, babe?
You know, I'm okay. I had a conversation with you recently where we were in a conversation with a bunch of people where I talked about how you have actually given me a lot of permission to say I'm not okay sometimes, to the point where like I actually didn't realize how much I don't say it, even though I'm not in certain moments, like even to my own mother. I really, and it wasn't for anybody else but myself. I think it was like my way of surviving and coping and being positive and positive thinking. And sure, that may have served me in moments, but it like got to a point last week. I got together with a bunch of girlfriends here in Austin at my friend Kimberly's ranch. And her ranch is sort of this vortex. I'm sure she wouldn't mind. Kimberly Vanderbeek, her and James are just very sweet, like ethereal beings. And their ranch is this like vortex of just, like spirituality and love and connection. And we all went there in sort of with an intention of all that. And I sat with my girlfriends and I just like, I literally felt like I was bubbling over with emotion, like it was choking me. And I just looked at all of them and it was like, before we were ever like even ready to start sharing. And I was like, I'm sorry guys, but I am not okay. And I just started like spewing, you have things coming up your ass, but this was coming out of my mouth. Like,
which we will touch on.
That's right. But like, everything I wanted to say for the last 22 years.
Oh, honey.
Like, I'm not fucking okay. This is so fucking hard. I'm angry. I'm this, I'm that. And I was like, I couldn't stop. It was coming out of me. And like, I looked at these beautiful, seven beautiful women that were like, not smiling, but like, yes, Jamie, like, give it to us. Like, tell us, give it to us. Thank you. And then they all looked at me and they were like, can you just scream?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't. I actually have never, since I'm a little girl, like always felt like I can't scream. And I sat and all my girlfriends were like, fine, we're going to do it for you. And they all screamed at the top of their lungs. And it was the most like,
oh my God, I'm crying. Now I'm crying.
Yeah. Okay. It was, I'm going to come over, Christina, and we're going to fucking scream. It was the most beautiful moment I think I've ever had in my life, other than my kids being born. Like, just to see these women be like, we've got you. We're going to take your pain and we're going to like process it as much as we can for you. And they were like, we're fucking angry for you. And we hate this for you. And it was just, ever since then, I feel like I cannot hold anything back. And I've just like, to my benefit or not, like everything I feel and everything I want to say, like in the moment, it's just coming out of me. And it's like, I feel like I had an exorcism. I don't know what happened, but I owe a lot of that to you, Christina, because I really feel like I've always wanted to be positive for you. And I've always wanted to like be strong for you because I love you. But we also have to like just be okay saying it's not okay. Like it's really such an important part of the process. And you've really taught me that. And I don't think I would have had the courage to even have that moment I didn't even know I was about to have had it not been for you. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome from me being so pissed off all the time. So you're welcome, I guess. Just don't do what I did a few months ago. I threw something at a picture window that was custom made for my house, and it broke, it shattered. And don't do that, because then you have to replace the custom size of the picture window, which was probably, it's like 6 feet by five, huge window. But I like,
that's a good size.
I lost my shit. And I hadn't been, you know, I fade away into my television programs. I lay in bed. I pretend this isn't happening because every time I stand up, it hurts. And then I don't want to deal with it. So then I get back into bed and do this vicious cycle of fucking depression and anger and all these things that I'm feeling. And I guess this is my way of processing, but I don't think you can process this disease. I don't think at the end of the day, you're like, this is a great disease. Like you don't, it just doesn't work that way. So, but just don't hurt a picture window because those are harder to replace.
I'm going to stay away from windows. I think people need to start like prescribing screaming.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing it in my car now. I've like already warned my husband. I was like, listen, like I'm probably going to be like screaming from time to time. Just like I'll try to do it in a pillow. And the other day I screamed into a pillow and Cutter came in. He's like, the pool guy's outside. Can you like,
can you just tone it down a little bit?
He's like, do that somewhere else.
But I have to tell you something because of screen therapy, which it just reminded me, and I know I'm going off topic, but we'll get back on topic. Okay. When I was a little kid in 1981, there were these things called the Wonderland Avenue murders, and which was right near my home. And the people in the house were screaming as they were being murdered.
Oh my God.
You know, with blunt objects. And all the hippy dippies on the street thought that they were just doing scream therapy. So no one called the police. And I know I just went real dark, but these people were bludgeoned to death in this house because no one called because they're like, oh man, they're just doing scream therapy. So we've got to do it in a place that's okay for us to do it in.
Well, that makes you know.
It was terrible.
You don't know what to say right now.
Well, you know me. I'm always going to take it to
another subject. Give me my hard laughs, always. I love it. Well, yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you're having that because you're not going to stay in it.
But I'm sure it wasn't all just my disease, right? It was all this fucking shit. Yeah,
it's being five fucking years old and seeing something you didn't want to see or parents fighting with each other or fucking being molested or, you know, watching someone get hurt or all the things that you go through life and you're told to kind of keep it together, be strong, keep it together. And I can't apply that. Like, but I do. Like I like suppress.
Yeah.
And then I go wild and then I break a window. And that's what I don't want to do is keep the balloon so filled up that it bursts without letting the air out.
I think it gets tricky too, because I'm sure you get this a lot too, where like we get celebrated for being so strong. You know what I mean? Like I get a lot of like, oh, the way you handle this, you're so strong, the way you, and I appreciate and I understand what people are saying to me and what they mean when they say that. And there's times where like, yeah, I'm going to pat myself on the back. This is fucking hard and I'm doing a good job with it. But I think it can get tricky where then you just start to feel like
you're obligated to feel that way, right? You're obligated to be strong. Yeah. That's what I hate too, because people have said that to me as well. Sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
like,
you helped
me. Like that is like, no, I'm not. Like,
yes,
I'm not. I need you to kind of like step away from your shit for 2 seconds. And it doesn't always have to be woe is me, as we've talked about on this, about how much I hate that. Like, I don't want to be woe is me, but man, sometimes I'm like, this fucking sucks. But I'm also there for my, you know, my best girlfriend, Carolyn, who comes over here and she's got shit going on. And we sit and we talk for hours. And it's not just me talking about what I'm going through. It's her talking about her car breaking down and all the stuff she's going through with her kids and her life and rent and too many cats or whatever the hell is going on with her. Like, we've got to all be there for one another and be supportive and be good listening ears and not go, oh, I've got so much going on with me, I can't listen to you. That's what I look like. That gets real ugly to me.
No. Well, that's what we're trying to create here. And that's, to be honest, that's what that circle was. Because let me say, like, I might have kicked it off, But we went around and everyone was sharing their shit. And it's not like it makes you feel better that other people are going through things, but it was just like,
no, that's not the point of it.
Life,
the point
this is life.
To be heard.
Yes. Well, so how are you? That was my how am I?
Well, your how am I is pretty beautiful. And I know that, thank you for saying that I had a part in your kind of release of 20 years of being fucking pissed off. And you're going to help me get to the point of having some kind of, I'm never going to be grateful for this. So I'm not going to have gratitude. That's not going to happen. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like,
it's
never going to be a day I wake up and I'm like, oh, I can't walk. I'm so grateful. Like, that's not going to happen ever. But going like, okay, this is my life. What's the best that I can do with this now? Because right now I'm doing the complete opposite of what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I'm supposed to be getting up and stretching. I'm supposed to be keeping myself moving because that will help me. Like we talked about, I went to Europe and I walked 9,000 steps a day, which is unheard of, without a cane. Totally cuckoo town. And I was not on any drugs, because you'd think like someone must be on like amphetamines or something to be able to do that with this disease. But it was like this like resurgence of myself. And I was like, wow, I'm so strong. Holy shit. I might be able to live with this, even though when we would stop, I'd kind of topple over like that, that blow up thing that kids punch and then it comes back. And it like, I was like that, like we'd stop and everyone would be looking at a store and I'd be like, but it was incredible. And then I got home and couldn't walk and it's been real difficult, but how have I been doing? Okay. So, I finally got the COVIDs, the first time in 3.5 years that this house has gotten the COVIDs.
That might be the record. You might have been the last people standing.
No, I have one other friend with MS who hasn't gotten it yet either.
Wow.
We dropped the ball one night. And I'm not going to blame this one person who dropped the ball. But I'm going to say someone real close to me dropped the ball and went to a bowling alley and came home with the stuff. And it got spread all over the house. So my caretaker, Cheryl, got it. I got it. And this other person got it. I'm mentioning their name.
So nice of you.
Because you know who I'm talking about.
Of course.
And that person got real, real sick. Like almost 104 fever, vomiting, coughing. And within 4 days was completely fine. Like, you know, completely fine. I had one day where I had a headache and some chills. And I was like, oh my God, I'm totally making it through this. Like all this fear of having MS and being immunocompromised and getting it. I was like, oh man, I'm so good. And then it turned into long COVID and it turned into a chest infection. And my heart's doing weird stuff where it speeds up all of a sudden while I'm just sitting here to like 150 beats per minute. Like I've got
and that's a symptom of long COVID, right?
Yeah. So I was like, motherfucker. Like I literally thought like, oh my God, I was the one who got okay. Like my character was still really sick. Like she's coughing up, you know, phlegmies all over the place and stuff like that. And I was like, man, I must be brawn. I must be a Viking to get through this. Then what we discussed, something really brilliant happened to me.
Time for the poop talk.
Sorry guys,
it's a poop pod.
If you don't like this part, totally fine. I get it.
Skip it.
Close your ears, whatever you need to do, but I think you need to hear this. I started having pissing out of my ass for a few days, to the point where I was so dizzy. I was so sick. I couldn't eat. I couldn't anything. And finally I had to do one of those like samples.
Stool test.
Which is fun.
Yeah. Love collecting.
Moves. And that's sarcasm, as we know, because you poop into a receptacle and then you have to scoop your own poop into vials. And it was so gross. I started vomiting whilst doing this. Anywho, came back. I have something called sapovirus, Now, what is sapovirus? Most people don't know. It is when you ingest the fecal matter of someone else from your food.
Oh my God. Someone else's poop is went in your mouth.
Someone else's poop went into my mouth and I ate it.
And your body went crazy because that's like, that's not our poop bacteria.
No, it's someone else's poop bacteria. Just, yeah. So I'm almost going on 3 weeks of being sick from this.
And is there a remedy for sapovirus?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. And nope. My doctor was like, eat a banana. I was like, yeah, I don't like, first of all, I abhor bananas. I don't know if you know this about me.
I didn't.
I fucking hate bananas. I'm sorry to bananas everywhere around the world.
Like bananas, like banana bread, straight up all banana, everything?
No, that's fine. Like in a smoothie, great. You can hang out with other things, but you on your own is like, I gag even thinking about a banana.
You know what? I'm the opposite.
Oh, but that's because I guess I shouldn't be deep throating the banana. Sorry, that was a bad joke, sir.
There's many ways to eat a banana. I will eat a banana, but I cannot have banana in anything else. I don't want to taste it in a smoothie. I cannot have banana bread, anything banana flavored. I'm the exact opposite as you.
Guess we're not really as fucking similar as we thought, man. What I was going to say is that, yes, we have kind of traced it back to takeout.
Wow.
Salad.
From where?
Not going to say.
You know, that's doing a disservice to the people. Or just call the restaurant and let them know so that they can clean it up.
They're closing this week, not because of poop spores, because they lost their lease. But it's a restaurant I've been eating at for 15 years. Like, it's a vegan place. And I got a salad. And I think that they say that it's mostly from salads because cooked food kind of kills the bacteria. Yeah, we're tracing it back to that. But then I had to start amoxicillin, which also causes the runny diarrhea.
The poopies.
But I got it before that. So it was at first thinking it was the amoxicillin, which it's not. And then that was from my lung infection. But we looked at my Postmates and we're like, oh, shit. Salad. And also, you can get it from your dog's poop. So if your dog eats their shit and then comes to kiss you,
that's all it takes?
Apparently. Now, I'm not a dog kisser. I love my animals, but they are not allowed to put tongue near my holes.
Yeah, I don't like
that. No holes. So
I don't want to kiss in the face.
Anyway, that's my fun story.
Wow.
It's been real fun.
So you can't even leave the house when you have something like that.
No. I was supposed to go see my brother. He just had a baby a month ago, and I was supposed to go up a couple weeks ago. And I was like, I will shit in the car. Like, this is not going to happen. And I'm going to be gross. Sorry, guys. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning in a pool of shit.
Oh my God.
Didn't know what happened. And having MS at 3 o'clock in the morning and trying to change your sheets, it's not fun. But this brings me to my next point, which we can talk about.
Great.
I'm wearing diapers.
I've worn them before too.
Yeah, wearing diapers.
Yeah. You and I have had a little bit of talk. So we have a bone to pick about the makers of these diapers.
Yeah.
These adult diapers.
Number one, they're not accessible. So wouldn't it be great if they had like Velcro on the sides? So that like a baby, but not the one thing. You need to have the full, you know, I'm sure now it's going to get patented somewhere else and we're going to lose millions of dollars. But here's my problem. Why do they make them pretty for women? Why don't you talk upon that, please?
Yep. So adult diapers are a blush pink, usually. And they usually have some sort of bow or floral design along the pelvic area. And to be honest, Christina and I have talked about this. Putting on an adult diaper, you're not going to feel sexy.
Mm-mm.
You're never going to slip one on and be like, I'm ready for my day. It's something you got to wear because your body is malfunctioning. Your body's not feeling good. You're having an MS flare. Your kid grabbed your bladder on its way out of your vagina. For
you
whatever.
You ate someone else's shit.
You ate somebody else's poop. Somebody. Sorry. Yep. Somebody washed their hands. Your dog ate it and licked you. Whatever the reason why you're having to throw on this adult diaper. There's nothing enjoyable about it. You're fucking pissed off when you have to put that shit on. You got to find something that maybe you don't see it in what you're wearing. It's like all the things. I would like, and you and I've discussed this. Yep. I think it would be very nice if you could give me an adult diaper that just that fully supported my mood when I looked at it.
Yeah.
Which would be something along the lines of the words fuck me across my pelvis.
But no one wants to fuck you when you're in a diaper.
But that's why it's like, fuck me. Fuck me. Who wants me? Fuck me. I don't know. Fuck you. Fuck me. It's just like, fuck it. Fuck it. Maybe that's it. Fuck it.
Yeah, it's terrible. Okay, again, we're losing a patent. Someone's going to do this. And
you're welcome, millions.
But that's the thing. Like the ones I'm wearing currently, as we speak, have a display of lilacs all over them. And I'm like, where is this like pretty? Like, oh my God, I feel so pretty. Hey, baby, you want to get down and dirty with my pretty diaper lingerie? With my own urine and shit? Like, what?
I'm not going to throw my dress on and twirl in front of the mirror and be like, let's go.
Oh, and they're crinkly. So if you do put a dress on.
You see it.
Crinkly.
You got to put like Spanx on top of them.
Wait, our producer sent us a picture of a thong diaper. Was that a joke? Yeah. Okay. Because I was like.
Is it a real thing? No, it's got to be a joke. How would it catch the pee-pee?
It's not going to catch the nothings. But yet, let's have a thong to look sexy in our diaper. Okay, I can't, like, seriously.
Yeah.
But this look, all came up to my mind when I was sitting there trying to change it, which you have to take all your clothing off.
Yes, because there's no Velcros on the sides.
On the sides, which we need the Velcros on the sides. Not like a diaper, because that's not going to hold it. We need a full, you know, accessibility kind of sitch, like what Skims is doing with their snaps, something like that. Okay, again, we just lost the patent. So anyway, and then I'm taking the pants down and I got to change the diaper, put on the new one. And then my feet are floppy. You know, when they get floppy with the MS?
Mine don't get floppy. They get stiff.
Yeah, mine get like where they're like a dead weight. And then I can't get my pants on. So I'm just sitting there like, people are listening going like, can you guys just shut the fuck up about your poop talk and your diapers? It's ridiculous.
This is just, we're letting you look behind the curtain. We're giving you a peek behind, but there's like, but it's so liberating to honestly to have a conversation with you about this, because this is something you do by yourself and it feels terrible when you're doing it, and you're mad, you're sad, you're depressed all the while. And like, I've done this that hundreds of times in my MS journey through the years of when I've experienced a flare or when I was sick or whatever it was. And it just sucks. And you don't know how to talk about it with anybody. You just don't. Like, and it's, and I don't know. It's just, it's, I hate that we have to talk about it, but it's nice to talk about it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's it. Like, there's people all over the world having to wear a diaper and are embarrassed about it. And
that's right.
And we're just letting you know you should be. Just kidding.
Yeah. You should feel like shit.
You should feel like shit.
I are not keeping Depends in business alone. You know, I actually went to lunch with a girlfriend of mine from high school, a dear friend who I'm still super close with. And she's dealt with like terrible colitis and Crohn's.
Oh, that's painful.
And I had no idea. She was like, Jamie, I wore diapers our entire 20s.
Oh my God.
I had no idea. And I was like, I'm so sorry that you dealt with that, because think about it, like when you're dating or like things like that. Like I had
Oh my God. It's like having pantyhose on when you're trying to get it on.
Oh, wow.
Pantyhose. That's not, remember that happened pantyhose? To me one time.
Remember the little egg? They used to come in a little egg.
Yes. I had a boy when I was like 15, like we were making out and stuff like that. I don't know why I had pantyhose on under my pants. And I was so embarrassed.
Oh, yeah, I used to do that.
Why did I have pantyhose on?
Because we wanted to wear pants that were too small for us. So we would wear pantyhose.
We invented Spanx.
Yeah. We also invented Spanx.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But we have a friend who sent us a picture of her in her special. It's a different brand. So I don't know if we can talk about brands, but whatever.
Poise? What's another brand?
Whatever. Poise. And they were so beautiful, and she was so proud, and she was standing.
She looked stunning.
Naked in the mirror, letting us know that you can have pretty diapers. And then I was like, why are we having pretty diapers? Jeez. She looked amazing. I mean, damn it. Yeah.
She looked great.
Yeah. This episode of Messy is brought to you by Maybelline.
As the number one makeup brand in the world, Maybelline has the platform and the power to make an impact from the inside out.
That's why they've created Brave Together, an initiative designed to help those facing anxiety and depression by funding free professional one-on-one support so that no one has to struggle alone.
Mental health challenges like anxiety or depression can be so difficult to manage on your own. We talk about this all the time. Christina and I have both spent years holding our own struggles to ourselves and have felt the terrible effect. And this podcast has been our outlet to finally share. And if you struggled yourself, or have you ever noticed a friend struggling and not know what to do or say? Well, Maybelline New York created the Brave Talk training to help people navigate mental health conversations with their friends. How amazing is that? And they have these five easy steps to having a brave talk. Brave, acronym B, be present, R, right setting, A, ask questions, V, validate feelings, and E, encourage action. Listen, you guys, it is so brave to ask for help. So let's be brave together.
Maybelline is committed to donating $10 million to NGO partners and providing free access to one-on-one professional support to 3 million people by 2025 so that no one has to struggle alone. If you or someone you know is experiencing anxiety or depression, Maybelline New York is funding free confidential support. Text together to 741-741 or visit maybelline.com/brave together to learn more. Messy is supported by Psionic. The Psionic Neural Sleeve is the first FDA-cleared bionic clothing designed to help people living with MS and other neurological conditions improve walking and strength.
So for people living with MS, we talk about it all the time. Staying mobile and active is an essential part of managing your MS symptoms. So the neural sleeve looks and feels like a garment. It's not an assistive device and it fits under clothing, but also can look pretty stylish when styled well. And the system uses these embedded sensors. And so it analyzes every step you take and then sends electrical pulses directly to the four major muscle groups of the leg to improve walking in real time. In the first multi-site research study, 94% of participants improved their walking. What a dream, you guys. It's easy to use. You customize through the Psionic app where, okay, you meet face-to-face with the Psionic mobility team for training, check-ins. They personalize your settings, track your progress. And the best part is you pay as you go. So if the neural sleeve is not working for you, you can cancel anytime for any reason. I talk all the time about how my gait has been affected, and I cannot wait to try my neural sleeve and let you guys know all about it.
We're excited to share that Messy listeners can get $50 off by entering the code MESSY, M-E-S-S-Y, during checkout. To learn more, visit psionic.com, C-I-O-N-I-C www.thebrainfarm.com.
Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like you are... Do you feel like you are...
famous? Nope. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. So I feel like I'm an asshole. Because I have to be careful because I'm not like super vigilant. I'm not super strict with everything that my kids like do and put on their bodies and eat. Like I'm a bit relaxed, but I feel like because of having MS, like I'm so conscious and so aware and so worried about them ever having to deal with health things. Do you feel that way with Sadie?
100%, because I'm BRCA.
I mean, this is a whole other journey of yours that we haven't even talked about.
Like, this house was no sugar, nothing that wasn't organic or from a farmer's market or vegan. Nothing that we used in the house was...
No toxins.
A big box place, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everything was... That's why Honest Company was so amazing to us, because... One time she actually ate some of the soap. This is funny too. And I called Jess and I'm like, she just ingested some of the soap. And I could hear Christopher on the outside of the phone call going, she could drink the bottle. It's fine. And it just like made me feel so good of like, the ingredients were so natural and fine. I mean, I wouldn't want her to drink. Don't drink soap. A bottle of
Honest soap.
Honest soap. No, we don't. No, just, but she had ingested it and I was so flipped out. So I've always been really, really freaked out. Like, I was that douche mom who was like, no sugar, no this. And then all of a sudden she like got a cupcake. And then she was like, I hate you for never letting me have a cupcake. And so now we just have all sorts of products in the house now. And it makes me upset. But I love the smell of the certain detergent we use, and I won't name it, but it's probably not great, but it's been around for probably 200 years. And I don't think anyone's died from it, but who knows? But we still use natural, like Honest, like dishwashing soap and Mrs. Meyer's like hand soap and things like that. Like that's, we really do try to keep it a balance. But
yes. I was going to say, it's a balance. It's a balance because also I think sometimes I worry that we have like too much information. I also like trust the fact that like we evolve with like our environments, like certain, you know, or like things just sort of adapt to environments and, you know, organisms, and that's what we are. So like I'm trying not to be too strict either, but I also like, I just have to check myself sometimes about like worrying too hard.
Yeah, I had to kind of let go because she was so influenced by kids in school and going to other people's homes. And I was so freaked out about what she was being fed for so many years. Sure. And now I'm like, as long as we have a balance, and I think that, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I feel like, having a balance is good, but I don't want her... You know, I do tell her like some things are carcinogenic, like let's not go there. Like, let's not go with red dye number 50. Like, let's not go there. Like, check yourself. You know, I also tell her if she ever does drugs, I will kill her and kill whoever gave them to her.
Totally fair.
Which, is that fair? Totally. Sorry. Fair. My mom told me totally that fair. And I never did drugs. So, because I was scared to death, my mom would commit murder of two people. So
fair. I think that's totally fair. I think that's actually really good.
It's a terrible thing to say, but I'm also like, she knows the balance. And look, I've done a lot of bad things to my body over how old am I?
I don't know.
I've had to Google it. I had to Google it last week. I honestly did. I was like, wait, what?
What year were you born?
71.
So you're 52.
What's your birthday? I don't even know.
May 15th.
Okay. What sign are you?
Taurus. With a Libra moon and a Scorpio.
We're apparently not supposed to get along, right? I don't know.
Scorpio met... You're Scorpio? No.
Sagittarius.
I love Sagittarius. No, we're great.
Scorpios
and I, Scorpio men and I, oof. They drove me crazy. Because we're like the at the polar opposites. Like we're the.
Well, you're bully and I'm Sag, which is like, we don't stop talking. We have to boss everyone around and we need everything now.
Yeah, we're Tauruses are stubborn. We're homey. Well, we like the finer things in life. We're very loyal.
By the way, your manicure looks really nice.
Thank you. Well, don't, this hand looks nice. Look at this hand. I broke two nails cooking.
Well, our viewers can't see this. Her nails are terrible. Just
here's what I get. I get something called a Russian manicure. Check it out. I've never had nice nails ever in my history of my life. I was on a TV show for the last 2 years and my character, she evolved as like she started getting more money. And so like taking care of her nails was like an important part of like her look and to show that this was who she was now. So I had to stay up on these manicures and I would get these Russian manicures because they would last me for like a month, like 5 weeks sometimes. And I'm telling you, I'm addicted. They ain't cheap, but they're awesome.
Have you seen my pretty nails?
They look thick, though. They look strong.
My nails are really strong, which people say like, oh, that means a sign of health. And then I giggle. I'm like, really?
You know what?
Virus, long COVID, and MS.
I hate when I go to the doctor and do like my blood work for the year and they come back and they're like, you are so healthy. And I'm like, am I?
Am I really?
Am I really?
I went to the hospital a couple of weeks ago while I had COVID because of my stupid stomach thing where I go into like the most excruciating pain that I've ever felt in my life. And finally, the doctor was like, all right, we'll do some blood work. He was the head of the emergency department. So he was really cool. And he was like, what do they usually give you? And I said, this and this. And he literally gave me what I needed and then did my blood work. And he's like, if you're feeling okay, just go home. I was like, well, thank you. Because they'd done all the tests. They'd done literally, I think, every test that you could possibly give someone except for like whatever. But they're like, yeah, we're just going to give you the big drugs and some Zofran and you'll be on your way. Why do I look naked? Sorry. No one can see us. But
you look sexual. Do you have flowers on your panties or something?
I got lilacs on my diapies.
Now let's answer some questions from our listeners. This one is from Jesse. Hi, beautiful queens. I am going for an MRI scan next week to check for MS, and I'm kind of scared about it. So I wondered if you would give me any tips on what to expect and how to calm myself while I'm in the MRI machine. I love you both and your podcast so much. Thank you for this awareness and for being yourselves. MRI days are my least favorite days. Let's start out with the negative first.
They suck, Jesse, but they're over quickly. Mm-hmm. And you can also, if they're doing brain and spine, you don't have to do them all in one day.
That's true.
So you can break it up. I know this.
They'll also give you a Xanax, right?
Valium.
Valium.
My doctor, I have a whole thing of Valium. Stays in a closet, and on MRI days, it's really important to not have anxiety because we're going to explain it. There's going to be a cage over your face, mm-hmm. and you're there for like a good 45 minutes with the cage over the face. And it's not great. Some people like it. Some people get real relaxed.
I mean, mine are sometimes 2 hours, right? Because I'll do brain, cervical, and thoracic. And then you do with and without contrast. So for me, my main issue is, by the way, they'll play you some music usually. Hopefully you have a nice technician. I've had issues where I've had not nice ones. They get frustrated when you move. And for me, you can't control that movement. It's like why you're in the machine, because sometimes you get a little spasticky and sometimes you move. And I have this amazing technician in my doctor's office. This is a pro tip. If your technician will let you, I will literally scrunch my knees into my shoulder and hold my legs to me the entire time I'm in there, because that way I don't move or shake and I don't mess up the picture.
Wow. No one lets me do that. They like strap my legs down and like a straitjacket. But anyway, we're not trying to discourage you, Jesse.
No, these are just tips.
Also ask if you have reflective glasses, because you put these little glasses on that have a mirror on them. So you're not looking up at how close the distance is of the tube. You're kind of, you can look back at sometimes at the technicians or in the room, and you'd feel less claustrophobic.
Yes.
We're making just, this so much fun for you.
I know, but listen, it's a hard part of this, but it gives a lot of information. We're sending you lots of love. You can maybe even listen to Messy while you're in there. I don't know. Maybe they can throw a podcast on for you.
And you know, you're getting checked for this. So
that's right.
We're going to hold you in some space that you got something else going on. But if you do have this going on, you're not alone. You have us.
Yes, we've got you. All right. Our next question is from Brooke. I was told I had MS when I was 18. As a single mother of two, I didn't have time for whatever MS was. Now 33 and symptomatic, I am getting treatment. Christina, your woe is me story gave me the strength to tell my boss I need to go part-time, and to my husband, I need you to step up more because right now I am struggling. As mothers, we put everybody before ourselves. We torture ourselves to keep all the ducks in a row, but damn it, we are allowed to say, woe is me. The physical and mental battles every day is absolutely draining. Damn right, woe is me. That's not to say you sit in it, but it's okay to say it once in a while. Amen, girlfriend.
Yeah, yes. I agree, Brooke. I think that, you know, to wallow in anything, you know, whether it's a loss of something or you know, another sickness or any of these things, it's to stay there all the time does you no good health-wise. Mm-hmm. To stay in stress, to stay in that mindset of negativity, where we know that to be a universal cosmic scientific thing. But we don't have to fight all the time. We don't have to fight.
Nope.
And pretend. And people around you have to understand when you're like, you know what? Fuck. No, not today. Not today.
Not today. And you know what? That gets you the help that you need. But I also found just this past weekend, I sat with my brother, and whenever we're together, usually our kids are around, we don't really get to talk. And him and I ended up being alone in a car for a little while. And I, for the first time, really explained to him like what it's like to live in my body. And in the time that I was kind of explaining to him what I deal with, I wanted to give myself a hug and a pat on the back, because sometimes it's important for you to be like, wait a minute, I deal with a lot.
Yeah.
Like on top of just life. And sometimes even just that realization is really important for you to honor your needs, but also honor yourself and how fucking strong you are.
Yep. Amen.
Before we go, I wanted to share this story because I hope it resonates with some, but it was just, I don't know. As soon as it happened, I texted you, Christina, and our producer, Allison, and I was like, remind me to tell you the story that happened in the hair salon. So I went to the hair salon last week to get my grays covered. And it was one of those moments where I was like, I'm not going to bring my cane. I'm feeling good. I'm going to walk in. It's not a far walk. I've got this. Dumb decision. But I was walking past this beautiful woman getting her hair done in the chair. And I was like looking at her and thinking like, wow, what a like gorgeous put together human. And I trip and fall into her chair.
Oh,
and wow. All I do then is then I flop into my next to her and I'm like, and I'm just this spastic. Forgive me for saying it, but like gimpy mess, you know, I'm like limping all in here and I'm not sexy and I'm not graceful. And I was feeling really shitty about myself, to be honest. And I was this huge loop in this inner dialogue that I've had thousands of times before of comparing myself to able-bodied people and what she can do and probably what I can't. And at the end of her getting her hair done, she stopped and looked at me and she said, your name's Jamie, right? And they said, yes. And she said, I just want to tell you, I love Messy. I think what you and Christine are doing is amazing. I am a psychiatrist for people that live with chronic illness. And what you are doing for my patients is amazing, but you're also helping me. I have cerebral palsy. And I have devoted my life to helping people like you and like us. And I just thank you. And when she got up, she walked with a limp. I looked at her and I'm like, she is so beautiful and strong. And I cannot believe that I just wasted an hour and a half sitting here beating myself up, comparing myself to this woman that still is just as stunning and amazing as I held her up in this pedestal to be, and with just that glance. And it's just crazy. You know, you never know anything that anybody is going through. And I took it as a lesson to stop comparing and stop being an asshole to myself. And I don't know, it just felt significant and important. And I just wanted to share that story because it really moved me and has stayed with me.
That's beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Mama.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm sure we all do it. You know, I'm sure a lot of people that listen do that.
This is, you know, nothing. I mean, I had to go to a celebration of life in Newport Beach on Saturday, kind of the final closure on stuff that we've talked about that I won't talk about on here. And, you know, everyone's dancing and standing around and stuff. And I found myself just, you know, sitting on some towels because I couldn't. And then people would have to help me up to get up because something has happened to me that's really bad. My legs have atrophied so badly that they are like toothpicks, which the rest of me is not, but my legs are really almost creepy looking and it's a little scary to me. But I just, I wanted to dance with everybody. And you know what I did? I fucking did. I got up and I went over to my girlfriend and her family and I danced to one song and then my legs said, nope, that we're done now. But it was like, okay, just seize those little, I don't know, the little victories, you know?
Well, look, I think that this was a great podcast of oversharing, which is what we're understanding. We need to be able to do more. Like, we need to be able to really talk about the things that feel embarrassing and shameful or like really hard, because you cannot go through these things alone. I hope you never have to bubble up in front of a bunch of your girlfriends and scream your fucking brains out. But also, if you have an opportunity to, I highly recommend it.
I highly say yes. My friends have been here when I broke the window. The picture. Don't break, just like I've said, my advice of today, don't break a custom picture window.
No.
Because then the lead time for replacing it is a lot longer than just going down to Home Depot. So that's my advice.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And with that, I think we should pull some cards.
Yeah.
All right. Mine says, each difficult moment has the potential to open my eyes and open my heart. That is true.
Tears.
Listen, I love you so much. And I love this little space that we've created for us to be able to share. I've never said ever out loud that I've ever worn a fucking diaper before. And I'm not proud of it, but really proud to be able to share and not feel embarrassed and shamed about it. And also, like, just thank you for allowing me to say that it sucks.
And thank you for allowing me to find some light in all of it. I love you so much. You are such a bright light in my world. And so it is.
And so it is.
This show is executive produced by Christina Applegate, Jamie Lynn Siegler, and Allison Bresnick. Our audio engineer is Josh Windisch.
If you want to show us some love, don't forget to leave the show a rating or a review. Hi, it's Jamie. Thanks for listening. I just want to let you know I am a paid spokesperson for Novartis, but this podcast is independent from my collaboration with Novartis.